Amen. Well, hey, it was interesting. I was talking with Jesse and Chelsea last week after church, and you know, they had so much. They were just kind of in that afterglow of the whole gathering retreat that they shared some information for me. And I'm like, what? You're just sharing this with me now? Two students last week gave their lives to Jesus Christ at the gathering retreat. Actually, Jesse didn't even know about it till we were talking afterwards. He's like, what? That happened? And so two students gave their lives to Jesus Christ. And isn't that's what we exist for, is watching lives changed and rearranged for Jesus. So just continue to pray for our Refuge Youth Ministry as they disciple these kids and bring them into fullness with Jesus Christ. Amen? Right on. Well, hey, everybody, we're on week two of a four-week series called Money Sense. Money Sense, right? And in this series, we're looking at how to manage our resources in a way that can honor God and at the same time change our lives, right? And last week, we talked about how less is more. But the common thought that we always fight with is more is actually better, and more is what we want, and more is what we crave for. But a wise king in ancient Israel by the name of King Solomon reminds us in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 6, he says, better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Has anybody ever caught the wind? I've never seen anybody catch the wind. I mean, it's like a dog chasing its tail. It's just kind of humorous, but that's what happens. And maybe you're at church this morning and this is your first time and you're like, what? The church is talking about money? Hey, listen, I get it. I know you're thinking that man, isn't there more to talk about in the Word of God than just money? But I want to just tell you something. There's over 2,000 verses in the Bible that talk about money and possessions. And about 15% of Jesus' teachings in the New Testament were about money and possessions. And so I feel in my heart that the church should have a good perspective on money and finances. And I think that there's some things that we just don't talk about because we're scared to offend or scared to rub somebody the wrong way, that I think we just need to have these conversations in church. And that's why we're on this four-week journey together on Money Sense. So I hope that today doesn't discourage you from coming back. In fact, I hope this week will invigorate you to come next week, because it's going to be a great one next week. But three principles we learned last week. And if you want to get the sermon CD, we've got them. We can get you those there shortly. We do have a sermon player on our website. It's on there right now. We just are in the process of loading up some sermons onto our website, and then you can listen to them anywhere and everywhere that you are. But the three principles we learned last week was cut back, clear out, and pay off. Why don't you say them with me? They're up here on the screen. Cut back, clear out, and pay off. Right? Today, I want to talk about how financial stress is bad. It's bad. Stress is bad. Well, thank you, Captain Obvious. No one ever said financial debt made my marriage better. Back before we had payments, we fought all the time. But now, do we have payments? Oh, it's just marital bliss. Nobody has ever said that, ever. That I've ever heard of. And you know, I don't know about you, but I've never heard a married couple in their lifetime ever say that, or anyone say to me that I sleep better at night knowing I pay high interest on my loans. Never heard that at all. And knowing that my credit cards are racking up high interest while I sleep brings me peace at night, right? Like some of us, I mean, we paid so much interest that they built banks in our name, right? And that, but I've never heard anybody say that. But you know people, and I know people, and that have said things like, "I wish I could give more money to my church, to people in need, to the people of Humboldt, to the victim families in India and Syria. But right now, money is just tight, and I don't have any extra wiggle room to give."
Or I wish I could be a stay-at-home parent, but our financial situation just doesn't allow it right now. Or I wish we weren't experiencing all this money stress in our home right now. We're fighting all the time. It's taking a toll on us, and we're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And we'd love to take a vacation because we've never taken one before. But wouldn't it be nice to plan a vacation? And the biggest problem that you had wasn't the money in the bank. It was deciding where you wanted to go. East Coast or West Coast or south to the Bahamas or wherever, right? Wouldn't that be great? But you know, because of financial stress, it comes weighing down on us. And we know that stress is what? Stress is bad. But here's the challenge. A lot of people just really don't have any type of understanding how money really works. Did you know that money's kind of a funny thing? Money by itself is worthless. It's worthless. Now, you might be thinking, I don't think so. Yeah, it is. Money is like the only commodity that you have that you actually have to give it away to get anything. Right? Isn't that true? You have to give it away to get something. Right? But in and of itself, you could have like piles of it and it'd be worth nothing. It would do nothing for you. You could throw it into the fire and maybe give you some heat. Not the plastic stuff now, because now it'd probably kill you, right? But I'll tell you, like, here's the challenge. We need to know how money works. And we bought into this mentality, unfortunately. This is a Canadian culture, maybe a North American culture, maybe a Western world culture. Buy now, have now, and pay it later. Mentality, right? Have now, pay later. And let's face it, society has sold us on it. Why wait when you can have it now? And have it now and pay for it later. What they don't tell you is that paying for it later means that you're paying it off for a really, really long time. And if you were to calculate the interest that you were paying over long-term financing, it almost make you choke. For instance, I've been comparing our mortgage payments, right, to the actual principal that we're paying off. And in those first 2 years of our mortgage payments, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, this is highway robbery. This is murder. This is financial suicide. It's crazy. And it's like, ouch. But it's hard to comprehend that all in my mind. I'm just thankful that both of my vehicles are bought and paid for, right? I own them. They don't own me, all right? And stuff. But here's the thing. We've grown so accustomed to the idea that it's all right to have debt, that it's just the way of life, and that financial stress is just a part of life. A stat I shared last week, according to the poll by the Bank of Montreal, 68% of those surveyed say fighting over money would be their top reason for divorce. Financial stress affects our relationships. Now, this is a difficult subject to talk about because many, if not all of us in the room this morning, has at one time made some unwise financial decisions. We're embarrassed by it, we're overwhelmed by it, and we'd rather just bury our heads in the sand and pretend like nothing was going on. But denial won't get you anywhere. After all, ignorance is not bliss, right? And so we feel helpless and we wonder and we feel hopeless by the weight of this financial stress on our life. Proverbs 22 verse 7 says this, "The rich rule over the poor and the borrower is a servant to the lender." Oh, wow. Right? The borrower is a slave to the lender and the borrower is in bondage. Right? When we owe, we're actually in bondage to that who we owe to. And that's why we don't just say less is more. We say financial stress is what? Stress is bad. I don't think any of us want to live under bondage or under the weight of financial stress, right? I don't think we sit there as children and say, wow, I can't wait to get a credit card so I can get into debt. I don't think, you know, my children just say, hey, Dad, why don't you pull out that magic card? Yeah. It won't cost anything. You just pull out the magic card. When I was a kid, it was like, just write a check for it. Just write a check. You know, it doesn't matter if you can't afford it. Just write a check. That's all good, right? We get this. We don't have this understanding or comprehension, right? And so we live under this stress. And we don't want to, God's plan isn't for us to live under that stress. I believe with all my heart that God wants us. No, he desires something better for his children, for his kids, for us, than for us to always be in financial bondage. Now, I want you just to picture or imagine, if you will, what it would be like to be free of financial stress. Just think about it for a moment. Imagine if something breaks and all you have to do is just pay for it to be fixed. Right? That you don't have to, and that's it. You don't have to freak out. You don't have to stress out. You just pay it off. Imagine if you wanted to buy something and what do? You pay cash for it. Wow, that'd be awesome. Imagine if someone you knew was in need and you've got some sewing money on reserve for times especially like this and you're able to give them what I always refer to as a Pentecostal handshake. Maybe they do it in the Baptist church and it's called a Baptist handshake. Wow, I'm thinking food already. I better preach fast because I'm getting hungry. No, but you know, like, or whatever. You know those handshakes where there's like a little something tucked into your hand and they give you and you're like, oh, what's that? Right? And it's not one of those little joy buzzers that gives you a jolt. It's like one of those joy buzzers that helps your wallet, right? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to do that? It feels pretty good, doesn't it? Or let's say you just want to take a family vacation and the biggest problem you have is not about affording where to go, it's about where you want to go, right? If the practical side of this doesn't motivate you, I pray that the spiritual side will. Jesus is one who said that if we are faithful with the little, he will entrust you with much. That living with integrity in what God has entrusted us with is actually a way we can worship God, serve him, and honor and please him. Not only do I want to speak practically on the subject of finances, I want to speak spiritually into it as well, because I believe that there's a huge spiritual dynamic that goes with it, right? When our hearts are aligned with God's, spiritually speaking, it's much easier to do things right in the natural world, right? I want to bring some prayers to our pursuit of debt-free life. Let me give you three prayers today that I hope will become part of your relationship with God as we honor him by managing what he has entrusted to us. The first prayer is this: God, give me self-control. Really? Oh man, that's a hard prayer to pray. Right? How many find that when you ask God to do something in your life, to do work in your life, he actually kind of brings the opposite your way so that you have to practice what you're praying for? Like for instance, God, give me patience. And then your three-year-old goes and does something. Or your teenager goes and does something. And now you prayed for it. And it's like, okay, God, I want this. And God's like, oh, I'll give it to you. Well, I'll give it to you. Here's a great opportunity for you to build patience in your life. Careful what you pray for, right? This is a dangerous prayer. God, give me self-control. Proverbs 25, verse 28 says, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. Cities in ancient Israel or in ancient times without protective fortified walls were completely vulnerable to their enemy and to attacks. And just like a city with a broken walls, if we lack self-control, we become vulnerable to the lies, to the attacks, to the compromise, to the heartache, to the broken relationships, whatever, right? We become vulnerable to all those things. A person without self-control is like a kid who screams bloody murder if they don't get what they want in Walmart. I want a toy. I want the ball. I want the chocolate bar. I want that doll. I want it. I want it. I want it. And I want it now. It's like they know that song. I want it all. I want it all, and I want it now, right? It's like, how do you know that song? That was in the 70s. I know that song, right? It's like they just want it, and they want it now, instantly. Instant gratification. But that's what some of us want in this life. We want high-speed internet. We want faster cars. We want quicker reaction times. If our data is slow on our phones, we just, like, have a meltdown. I can't load up my Instagram account, right? It's like, I need it. I need it. I need it. I want it. I want it. I want it. Well, I was living in Delisle, Saskatchewan, a small community much like this one. My mom dreaded taking me to the grocery store shopping. Really? Why? I'm such a good child. See, if I didn't get what I wanted, I'll show you what I did. So I get down like this, no! Right? That's exactly what I do. In the middle of the floor. You know what's so funny? Is karma, I don't believe in karma, but I just believe, I'll word it this way. What comes around goes around, all right? Because I have a little boy named Levi that will do the same thing. I want it! And he'll scream at the top of his lungs, and right? It's like, oh, was I really that bad? No, you were worse, James. Oh, okay. Thanks. But so you can imagine what happened when I became the youth pastor in that town, eh? Oh no, here comes Jamie. He's coming into the store. What's he gonna do? It's all right, everybody, I'm good. Just give me what I want and nobody gets hurt, right? Right? But some of us lack that self-control in other areas of our life. Like for instance, maybe gossip or foul language or telling inappropriate jokes, or maybe for you, it's spending your paycheck when it came on Friday and it's all spent by Monday, or maybe you are a binge shopper. You just can't pass by that clearance rack. It's like, oh, it's calling me. It's like the tractor beam of the Death Star. I'm sucked in, right? You just can't leave. It's such a great deal. Right, or maybe it's that new iPhone 10 that came out. You have the 8, but the 10 came out, and you just gotta have it. Or it's the new PlayStation that came out. Or maybe you're living out your childhood through your children, and there's movies from your childhood that came out, and all the toys came out, and you just gotta buy them all for your children, right? Or maybe it's because like spring is on the horizon and last year's fashions are just not going to cut it, you know? They're just not going to cut it. Like, I'm sorry, but I can't wear pastels anymore, right? I just can't wear this with that anymore. Like, the jeans need to be ripped. Well, here, I'll put some ripped. No, Dad, they need to be designer jeans with rips. They do them properly, right? Or you're watching the Jets game over at a friend's place because nobody wants to watch Maple Leafs, because who wants to watch losers play, right? So you're at your friend's place watching the Jets game, and they got this beautiful 75, 90-inch TV, and it's 4K, and you're like, oh man, I gotta have this, because you go home to your 35-inch TV. You're like, this is too small. This is pathetic. God hates me, right? And some of you that are geeks know what I'm talking about. You know, the 4K, all right? You know what I'm talking about. But anyways, it's just, you're doing spring cleaning in the garage, and you've got a perfectly good set of clubs or fishing equipment, but your neighbor just bought a new set, and it's time for you to get a new set, or you need a new boat because this old boat isn't doing its job anymore, and you just got to keep up with the Joneses because what you've got isn't good enough. These things, in and of itself, aren't wrong, but if you lack self-control instead of owning your things end up what? Owning you. Proverbs 25:28, like a city whose walls are broken down as a man who lacks self-control. Self-control starts with saying no for a little while so you can say yes for the rest of your life, right? Instead of have now and pay later, which translates into paying more than the purchase price, it's save now and own later, which translates into savings in the long run. Say no now so you can say yes with the rest of your life, right? Any bargain shoppers here? Anybody who's a bargain shopper? Come on, I know you're out there. You see a sale and think, it would be a great sin. In fact, it would be a greater sin if I left that deal on the rack, right? Because it's never gonna be that price again. And I wanna let you know a little secret that a salesperson told me recently. Now, if I heard him correct, this is what he said. According to Canadian regulations, right? Any retailer has to have sales 60% of the year. I was like, what? So he says, don't sweat the bargain now. It'll probably be better later. And I'm like, are you kidding me? But the society pushes, this is a one-time sale. You gotta get it now, right? But chances are you can get the same sale. It's spring. You probably get it in fall, probably even cheaper in fall, because now it's classified as last year's stuff, right? But it's crazy. If we can train ourselves to say no now, we've still got a chance later to get in on those sales, maybe even better. And You might say, well, hey, there's been a time where there was this killer sale and like none, and if you don't take advantage of it, well, listen, if we would prepare ourselves ahead of time, intentionally saying no in the off-sale season, imagine how sweeter the sale becomes when you're able to pay it in cash when it is the in-sale season, right? God, give me self-control. Say it with me. God, give me self-control. So now, for a little while, so say no for a little while so you can say yes for the rest of your lives. In a conversation with a parent on the topic of phone plans, it was really neat. We were talking about phone plans. I got daughters here saying, "Dad, I need a phone plan." And it's so funny how our teenagers sell it to us like it's almost like child abuse if we don't give them a phone plan, right? I'm neglected. They don't love me anymore. They won't give me a cell phone plan. And this is my idea of a phone plan. Let's just click to the next slide. Yeah, this is my idea of your phone. In my household, Hannah, this is yours. You can have it, right? This is the kind of phone, when I'm thinking phone plan, this is what you get. You've got to appreciate the process, all right? Appreciate the process. You can't just jump to where I am. It took a long time for me to get where I am. You got to appreciate the process. Just be glad I don't give you the brick or the bag phone. Ooh, or a quarter. Try making a phone call on that. Ain't happening. But listen, I was talking to a parent recently. It was funny because we were talking about phone plans. And this parent actually had a solid idea. And I just thought, this is just too good to keep to myself. This parent said to their child, they said, "Listen, I want you to save up $1,000 before you get a phone plan." And they're like, "What? $1,000? They did the math and they figured out what a phone plan was and what kind of phone that would be included with that. And they figured that $1,000 at that time would pay for that phone for 1 year. And they said, "Why don't you save up? And then when you've saved up that money, we'll go down and get that phone plan." I thought, that's an ingenious idea. Because once she's paid for that phone, or he's paid for that phone, what can happen is now you've got an entire year now to pay for the next year and the next year. And so it was genius. I thought that was great. So, Hannah, there it is. $1,000, baby, right? I'm just picking on you because Peyton's downstairs, right? But I thought that's pretty good. Why not prepare ahead of time? Why not start ahead of time? And I'll tell you, when we start seeing saving up for something, one of the little things we did with Peyton is we got her to research what a phone plan would cost. And she knows what she's making per month in her job. And she's sitting there thinking, "Well, Dad, you know, it's more cost efficient if I use your old phone and pay about like $12 for a SIM card and just go off Wi-Fi." I said, "Perfect, we're good, high fives, awesome. I don't get sucked into buying a phone plan for them," right? Say no now so you can say yes for the rest of your life. For some of you here today, that was well worth being here this morning, was just to hear that. Say no now so you can say yes for the rest of your life. Now, Dave Ramsey says, "Live like no one else so later you can live and give like no one else." Wouldn't it be nice to be able to do just that? I know of people who live like that. I have a car outside that proves it, right? It was sown into my life because a person practiced those principles. In fact, I think they're doing a big conference in Alberta coming up, talking about about being financially prepared and sowing into kingdom finances and all that kind of stuff. But I tell you, I'd love to tell you more about it. Just take me out for coffee and I'll tell you all about it. And in fact, we got some really good coffee here. I'll put on the coffee and I'll tell you about it. So, but the second thing we're going to pray is we're going to pray this. God, give me understanding. God, give me understanding. Hosea 4:6 at the beginning, it says, "My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge." From a lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Now, would it be fair to say that people are hurting financially today because of poor understanding? Think about that for a moment. In our culture, when it comes to buying something, generally we ask two questions. All comes down to this. See if this resonates with you. What's the down payment and what's it going to cost per month? Right? Those are the two questions we ask. What's the down payment and what's going to cost me per month. Now, I know that this doesn't apply to everyone, but isn't that the most common thought out there? How much for the down payment and how much per month? The problem is we're not asking the right question. What's the real cost after the final payment? So let's say the Schwab family is in the market for a new van. I'd say we're in the market for a new van, right? And they really are hooked on these Toyotas because the one that they currently have has served them well. So they go to the dealership and they price out a new one. They don't need all the bells and whistles. Even though they wish they had the bells and whistles, they don't need all the bells and whistles. So they get the base model for approximately $35,000. That's a good chunk of change. Now, they didn't really plan ahead, so they ended up financing it. Well, what's the down payment and what will it cost per month? Salesmen love that kind of talk. In fact, they won't even talk to you if you come in with cash. You know, it's funny, but anyways, they love that kind of, and you should see that they'll just be your best friend ever. They'll maybe even give you a mug or t-shirt, and high five you, or a hat, or, you know, like, and so the guy tells you, listen, there is no down payment. You can drive off the lot today. Really? Yes! Well, what's it going to cost per month? Well, let's see. Hey, if you finance this over the next seven years, 84 months, it only costs you $611.34 a month. Oh, that's awesome. That's great. That's awesome. That's only like, what, 6.34% financing spread over 80. Wow, really cool. I can afford it. I can afford it. I can afford it. Yes. Not. Let's do the math. If I end up shelling out, right, all of that money over 7 years' time, it becomes $51,352.56. Okay, so what's the difference there? Let's go to the next slide. This is the difference. That's how much more I'm paying for that vehicle. That's almost another half more for that vehicle. And I'm not getting a vehicle and a half. I'm not getting that kind of deal. Ouch. Can you agree with me that that's an ouch? Here's the greater ouch. Here's the biggest kick in the butt. Here, are you ready for this? I just went on to Auto Trader because Auto Trader, you can get some, you know, get some deals. So what's that vehicle going to be worth in about 7, 8 years? Or 7 years. And I thought, you know what, I'll go back 8 years and see what it's going to be. Well, this is what they're worth in about 7 years. The next slide. $11,000 to $17,000. Now think about this. I maybe will get enough to clear the extra that I paid on that vehicle. Doesn't sound like such a bargain, doesn't it? Doesn't sound like such a bargain, but that's all we ask. It's what's the down payment and what will it cost me per month? But we're not thinking of the end game and we're paying that. Let me ask you, is there anybody here that would love an extra 10 grand in your pocket right now? Wouldn't that be really sweet if we could do that? Maybe we just say no now so we can say yes later, right? Is this resonating to what financial peace is teaching there, Keith? Yeah, come on. Come on, right? So,
forgot to mention
that you lose value the minute you drop. Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah, try and sell that thing right away. No, not going to happen. Here's a greater ouch, and maybe the new vehicles don't affect you. Maybe it's the little piece of plastic you have in your pocket that costs you 19% interest annually. 19. What were we just talking about before? 6.34%. Imagine what 19% of what you owe right now. Imagine how much interest we've been paying, or how much money we've just been paying on interest alone. I don't know about you, but just the thought of it makes me want to go home and vomit. Can we all agree that stress is bad? Stress is bad. Imagine if we could rather invest the interest we're paying on our loans, mortgages, credit cards, and lines of credit. Imagine what life would look like later if we said no now and said yes, so that we could say yes for the rest of our lives. Again, Hosea 6:4-6 says, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. If you would like a greater or better understanding of what it means to have financial peace, right? Keith and Amber embarked on a journey, was it about 2 years ago that you guys first started? What's that?
Last summer,
they went through themselves a financial peace university, absolutely revolutionized their mind. And I would say probably even their home. They've been transformed by the renewal. And so they've been embarking on a new journey. I saw that Keith was wanting to sell his beloved last fall. And I'm so glad he didn't, because he's got a chance of really earning the prize. Because the trophy he won last year, he had to give it to the bank, because the bank actually owned his bike. But now this year, he can keep the trophy because it's his, baby. It's all his now. But you see, that's the thing, right? That's the thing, is that when we start paying things off, it's like, oh, it feels good. It feels good. And so if you want to talk about like this Financial Peace University, like this is what we care about as a church. We care about the everyday details in your life, right? Because not only do we feel that there's a practical element here, we believe that there's a strong spiritual element as well. There's a spirit of generosity that comes through when we're thankful to God. And Keith and Amber have ran two separate sessions of Financial Peace University. But I tell you, this is so powerful. This is so needed. Talk to them. And I tell you, they would probably even consider it a third one in the fall if all of a sudden people are like, hey, listen, I need some financial peace. And listen, don't be too proud now, okay? Don't feel like, oh, we got this figured out, when you don't, all right? That's the beauty of a group, is that you can come together and say, hey, listen, let's spur each other on to greatness and stuff. So that's just a little plug for them. I believe it changed their lives, maybe even saved their lives. And there's more of us that could probably use that. I mean, man, it's awesome stuff. Now listen, this message is way easier to preach than live. All right? It's easy for me to stand up here and say, okay, this is all you need to do, right? Walking the walk is much tougher. And so I just want to be clear here. I don't want anybody thinking here that I've got it all figured out. I am walking through these things, even in our own home, ourselves, right? We've got to walk through this, right? So I'm not standing up here saying, oh, you should be like me, right? And Keith and Amber are probably not saying, don't be like me. We're still trying to navigate through this. But I'll tell you, what will be the test? Time and discipline, right? Because I don't know about you, but I sure want to live like no one else so I can give like no one else. That's how I want to live. God, give me understanding. Say it with me. God, give me understanding. Last prayer today, God, give me a plan. Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. Whew. Did you know that that stuff's in the Bible? Did you know that there's that stuff in the Bible? You want a manual on finances? It's called the Bible. It's called the Bible. Come on, right? The plans of the diligent and faithful leads to profit. You do it better and you get ahead as surely as haste leads to poverty. And what does haste mean? Well, in the Hebrew word, it's translated, haste is translated like this. I felt sad, so I went shopping. No, I'm just kidding. It doesn't mean that. But seriously, retail therapy leads to poverty. All right, because it doesn't have a plan. It doesn't have a plan. We learned last week that money can't buy me love, right? It can't buy you happiness. Here is what we need to recognize, and don't miss this. You can wander into debt, but no one ever wandered out of debt. You can stumble into debt, but you can never stumble out of debt. You can mistake your way into debt, but you cannot mistake your way out of debt. That's why we need a plan. This isn't just a practical issue, it's a spiritual issue. Otherwise, God wouldn't have included it in his script. He wouldn't have included it in his script if he didn't feel that there was some powerful spiritual lessons to learn from this as well in his Bible, right? The plans of the diligent lead to profit. First lesson in Financial Peace University is to have an emergency fund. It's to have an emergency fund. Dave Ramsey suggests putting $1,000 away. Now, some of us, I mean, $1,000 is a huge mountain, right? And he's saying, get $1,000 and put it away for a rainy day. Rainy days, can look like car repairs, home repairs, dental repairs, you fill in the blank repairs. Then Dave goes on to teach very practically of how to start paying off your debts. And when some of those debts start disappearing, he teaches you how to set aside an emergency fund that's not just $1,000, but it's enough to carry you through for 3 to 6 months of living expenses. Then he'll teach you about investing. But most importantly, financial peace is not complete until we learn how to honor God with our finances by investing into his kingdom. And we do this best by investing into the local church, right? We have a plan for our finances. We actually honor God with that plan. We do, right? And when we have a plan and worship God in that way, things start happening in our lives. And if we're faithful with the little, guess what? God will entrust you with so much, so much more, right? So let our prayers be, God, give me a plan. I want to tell you about my father-in-law. My father-in-law is a trucker, earns an honest income. He's been a trucker for as long as I've known him and probably longer than I've been alive, I think, right? Yeah. Melanie and I have been married for about 22 years. It'll be this summer that we'll celebrate our 22nd anniversary. And for all of our married life, probably even longer, my father-in-law, Pete, has been following Dave Ramsey's teachings. And, oh yeah, just so that you know, Dave Ramsey's no new kid on the block, right? He owns the block, right? He owns the block because he's hit rock bottom. It took hitting bankruptcy for him to try and figure out and navigate through life. And isn't it nice when you know that you've hit rock bottom and you're able to crawl and scrape and get your way out of it? You kind of want to share that information with others because you see the victory and the freedom that comes with it. But my father-in-law has been following this teaching, and he's lived a financially disciplined life. He's prayed, God, give me self-control. He's prayed, God, give me understanding. He's prayed, God, give me a plan. And how do I know? Because he owns his stuff doesn't own him, right? He's the guy that the car dealerships hate when he comes onto the lot because he's got a wad of cash and he wants to pay for it in cash, but he knows exactly how much he wants to spend. And he knows that the price tag is just a suggested value of the vehicle. He knows that they can come down in price. They don't like it. I remember he was looking at one vehicle and they said, no, sir, in order us to do this, you have to go on a financing plan. He says, oh, okay, see you. And he actually walked away. Like the guy, like I'm thinking the sales guy, and did he call him later? Yeah, the guy called him later, says, no, unless you're willing to take cash, we don't have any. And that's how he lives his life. If there's no cash, there's no spending, right? And so he lives like no one else, and he gives like no one else. He may not own a mansion or drive a Maserati or have a Rolex on his wrist, but to me, he's the richest man I know because he masters his money. His money does not master him because he honors God with his finances. It's not impossible, guys. It doesn't happen overnight, not a chance. However, it does start with a mindset, saying no for a little while so we can say yes for the rest of our lives. Listen to what a first century follower of Jesus said in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Now, this can be applied to many areas of our lives, but this one is very powerful when it comes to finances. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, the have now, pay later mentality, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Save now, say no now, so that I can say yes for the rest of my life. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do not conform, but be transformed, right? Now, that's some good teaching right there. This is too rich, no pun intended, right? We're talking about money sense. Don't conform, be transformed, right? Maybe you just need to say that in your spirit. Don't conform, be transformed. Don't conform, be transformed. Church, it's time. It's time to get some self-control, a proper understanding, and developing a plan. It's time and to start telling your money what to do instead of your money telling you what to do, right? It's time to get a new perspective. And maybe today, God's Holy Spirit is taking this message beyond your finances and speaking into other areas of your life as well. God works in mysterious
ways. I believe that. And he's saying, now's the time to make a change. Now's the time. It's never too late. Less is more and stress is bad. You won't want to miss next week because we're going to talk about giving is good. Giving is good. We're going to close in prayer. I'm going to invite the worship team to come and we'll close us in a song. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that we can have conversations about finances. But Lord, I pray that this wouldn't just be a conversation just in this room for about 40 minutes. Lord, that this would be a conversation we'd have with our spouses or maybe have with people we trust that could speak into our lives. Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us in every aspect of our lives. That, Lord God, we'd only be a servant of one person, and that's the Almighty God. Not a servant to our finances, to money, to the banks, to living in bondage. Lord, that we would be a servant to you. That, Lord God, we would no longer have to say, I can't, but we would say, I can figure this out with your help. And so, Lord, I pray that as people are listening to this and there's different situations, there's different financial pictures in this room. And Lord, I pray that we, as people of God, would have these conversations, maybe these hard conversations with you. Lord, what is it today that I need to say no to? What is it today that I need to say no to? Maybe today, Lord, I need to say no to Starbucks and grab a Tim Hortons. Because the coffee is like half the price or a third of the price at Tim Hortons than it is at Starbucks. But Lord, one day, once I'm in a financial spot, then I can afford the Starbucks. But maybe I don't even want the Starbucks later. Maybe I want the Nabob. Lord, who knows? God, all I know is this, that there are some things that we place in priority today that really, over the grand scheme of things, really don't matter. They really don't matter. Lord, I think of what you talked about treasures in the book of Matthew. You know, sometimes we lay up our treasures here on earth where moth and rust will decay them or thieves will break in and steal them. But Lord, when we lay up in our treasures in heaven, that's an eternal safe deposit box. Lord, that stuff nobody can touch. Moth and rust can't touch it, and thieves can't steal it. And Lord, when we hear about people's lives being transformed by ministries in the local church, whether it's this church, the Anglican, Lutheran, Catholic, Baptist, Alliance, whatever other churches are in our area, Lord, I pray that as we see lives being transformed there, Lord, what price tag do we put on that? What price tag do we put on when somebody makes a choice for Jesus Christ and their lives just totally change? And instead of living for our chunk of change, we live for an eternal King who makes us this promise that we can still live after we die on this earth. So Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that made all things possible, gave us a reason to even gather here on such days like this. We thank you that we serve a risen Savior. So we give you praise and we give you glory this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.